Hey gang, are you new to this podcast? Have you subscribed on Spotify, Stitcher, or Apple Podcasts and realized that you can only access the 20 most recent shows on these platforms? Do you, my friend, want to binge on How Did I Get Here? Well, check out our archives that are available on the Podbean app. If you follow us on the Podbean app, we have every single show ever released on that platform. You'll also get all of your favorite shows like Fresh Air, WTF with Marc Maron, ID10T, The Michelle Obama Podcast. All podcasts available there, and you can also access over 1,000 How Did I Get Here episodes. So, download the Podbean app from your app store and start listening today. Let's get down. Attention, Austin guitarist. Are you in need of setup or repair on your axe? Well, I have the guy for you. That's my friend Jason Swedberg over at J. Scott Luthery. You can find him at J. Scott Luthery on Facebook. Gang, I've been taking my guitars to Jason for over 20 years, and not only does he do the very best job, but he has the fastest service and the best prices in town. Find him at J. Scott Luthery on Facebook or jason.swedberg@gmail.com. Gang, whether it's acoustic or electric, Jason is your guy. Get your guitars fixed.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a great weekend, whatever it is you did this weekend. I got a great, I had a great weekend. I had a really, really good weekend. Went to Marfa with my girlfriend. It was her birthday last week, and we went to Marfa for a few days, hung out. My friend Scrappy lives out there. We met this really awesome artist named Megan, and then just a girl at pool one day we became friends with named Allie. Anyway, it was a great weekend. It was pretty sunny out there, pretty hot. In Marfa, there's a time of the day you can't really get any reprieve from the sun. You know, if you're in the shade, it's fine, man. But if you can't get away from the sun or what the sun does to your teepee or tent, it can make it pretty hot. But we had a really good time. We walked around a lot. Marfa's really cool. It's an odd town, you know. It's kind of like this weird chic. Definitely like shabby chic, right? If you've never been there. If you have been there, you know what I'm talking about. It's kind of, you know, it's small, man. This has got like 2,100 people live there. That's about it. And they're surrounding cities and stuff. It's really beautiful. The sky is huge. But there's, you know, it's a quiet town that kind of has a bunch of artists there and a bunch of art galleries. And it's kind of askew a little bit, you know, but they have like hip, cool little restaurants and hip, cool little things. But then also like the streets are all kind of crappy, you know, it's an odd little town, but we did have a really good time, had a great time with Scrappy and Megan, our new friend, and definitely had a great time together, walking around, checking it out. Had a little bit of a panic attack on Sunday night. It got a little weird. I hadn't really eaten much all day, but I'd been at a pool drinking and then took a 5-hour energy drink and like later on that night kind of got like all like, shit, I'm having a heart attack, all this I was freaking out, but it turned out it was a panic attack. I actually went to the doctor when I got back yesterday. First thing, I did not do this intro yesterday. This is coming out a little bit late. Anyway, it was a great weekend in Marfa. I want to thank my friends and their hospitality. That lady Megan had us over for dinner on a Sunday night when the big storm came. We were in a tent later on with a leaky, man, tent is not cool in the rain. Not a huge camping guy is the thing. Like, that's the thing, is I'd like to say like, oh, you know what? This was a piece of crap, but it's not a piece of crap. It's something that I don't normally do. And there's a lot of reasons I don't want to get into it. I just don't want to camp. Is that bad? I just don't. So it was a great time. We had a great time. It was weird camping. We did have good times, man. It was nice. Nice weekend. Gang, while I was gone this weekend, I got a gig. I am playing, if you live in Houston, I am playing this Friday, May 28th, opening for Temple Underground. That's my friend Brandon Temple. You've heard him on the show a bunch of times if you listen to the show. James Robinson, had him on the show a bunch if you listen to the show. Fantastic band. I've actually seen Temple Underground and Friends two shows. I saw them and hosted a show that they did back in Labor Day, on Labor Day. I know, it was an in-person show, and I went there, and I didn't play, but I did host the show. And then I interviewed Bobby Sparks backstage after the show. I will be playing this Friday, May 28th, at Rockefeller's. I'm really excited. I'm really excited to be playing a show that I didn't realize I was going to be playing. I love Rockefeller's, been going there since I was a little kid, so it's always very exciting to get on that stage and play. Times are, I don't know exactly, but I'm the first guy on. I'm doing a short acoustic set. So if you live in Houston, you want to get out, listen, if I'm playing a short acoustic set and you're like, well, shit, I don't know if he's not playing a long one, you're going to want to see Temple Underground. They're amazing. James Robinson is a majestic singer. The band is absolutely unbelievable. And as far as drumming goes, Brandon Temple's like my favorite drummer in the world. Watching him play so lyrical. He's lyrical. He's saying stuff the whole time. He's speaking to you. He's not just boom smacking it. He's saying some stuff to you. It's not overplaying or any kind of like Keith Moon shit, unless he goes into that vibe where he's like, row! But what he does on the drums is super musical, super lyrical, super amazing. I'll put a link to the tickets in the text of this podcast down at the bottom. All right. So here's another thing. Friday, I'm dropping a brand new single. A single that I did with my friend Gabe Rhodes over the summer. A song we wrote. It's a song that we wrote kind of about the isolation that that at least I was experiencing during the quarantine. We wrote it last like July or something. It's like after my dog died. So I was in this kind of melancholy place, felt very alone in this apartment. I'm so glad. I'm so glad people are getting vaccinated and we're getting out and life's becoming a little bit normal. So excited to be playing in front of people. Anyway, this song, Marigolds, drops johnnygowdy.bandcamp.com this Friday, May 28th as well. So, hey, it's a single release show Friday. Rockefeller's May 28th. Come on out, see Temple Underground with me opening. And gang, one more quick plug. If you're listening to the show today, the day that it comes out, Tuesday, May 25th, I will be on the Rocked Attention podcast tonight at 8:30 Central Time. My friend Robin Mordecai and a couple of other crazy dudes. I've listened to and watched the show a couple of times, and they're really funny people. And I think it's going to be a good time. I'll put a link to that as well. That's tonight at 8:30 Central Time, the Rock Detention podcast. I want to welcome any new listeners to the show. Hi, my name's Johnny. I'm a musician here from Austin, Texas. Obviously, I'm plugging my music. I'm plugging my shows. But I talk to other musicians on this show. And we're like 1,053 episodes in. Very exciting that I've been doing this for almost 10 years now. Very, very, very good. Very good. You can listen to any show of like the whole catalog of our shows on the Podbean app. If you don't have that, go to podbean.com and download the app, or go to your app store and download the Podbean app. Subscribe to How Did I Get Here, where I talk to tons of musicians, great musicians, mostly Austin musicians, but a lot of musicians from all over the place, including today's guest, Max Rayner. From Tulsa indie rock band, Will Dorado is my guest today. Man, they're a fucking awesome band. He's an amazing songwriter. They've been dropping some new singles this year. Head Right is out. Takes Some Time is out. They released three singles last year. You can find them at willdorado.co. Now, they played ACL Festival. They've been touring for years. They were originally based in Los Angeles. Max and I have a great conversation about the band's sort of like... their trajectory and how they've kind of like grown and gotten bigger, and all this touring and writing and making great music has really built them a gigantic fan base. In fact, like, I think it was the day after I did this podcast, you watch those, if you guys have cable, there's like digital music channels, you can just put them on. I put it on the indie rock channel. And then I heard this song while I was cleaning up my room, and I was like, what is that song? I know that song. So I walked out to see who it was, and lo and behold, it was Will Dorado. So Max Rayner and I have a great time about his journey as an artist, as a musician, as a songwriter. Fantastic band. I suggest if you've not heard this band, listen to this conversation. Go check out their music. They're fucking fantastic. And I hope that they get out on the road pretty soon. seemed like, you know, they were a pretty heavy touring band for a while. And this last year has kind of left people feeling different ways about touring. You know, some people are like, man, why was I doing it the whole time? I think I'm going to slow down. Some people are like, I'm jumping on that horse. I'm doubling down. I'm doing more than I did before. Who knows? Great conversation with Max Rainier from Tulsa indie band Will Dorado coming up right now. Let's get down. Be a lot worse. Are you in Tulsa?
Yes, sir. Right in the middle of Tulsa. Where are you at?
I'm in Austin, Texas. You guys get down here much?
Yeah, Austin's great for us. Yeah. Great to us. Who doesn't love Austin? That's a fun city to live in.
A lot of people that live here don't love it.
Yeah, I guess that's true, huh? People are starting to not love it.
Well, there's just that, you know, it's not what it used to be vibe.
You feel that way?
Well, it's not what it used to be, but I still love it. It's still great.
Yeah. What's like it used to be? You know what I mean?
Well, there's this thing that people say that there's a guy that moved here in like 1976, and he was like, man, this place is great. And there was a guy that was standing next to him at the bar that said, well, you should have been here a couple of years ago. It was great. It's like that.
Agreed.
Mythically, yeah. Great.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, well, man, these songs are fantastic. You guys are fucking great.
Oh, man, that means a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, it's just the three of you guys that have been doing this the whole time?
No, it's the three of us now. Okay. There's been three other people that have played a role in Will Dorado kind of over its 5 years. And kind of settled into this current situation for the last couple of years, or last year, I guess now. But it's good, man. We've loved it the whole entire time.
Are you, were you based in LA before?
We were, yes. Until... We kind of started the band there.
Okay. And that's because, was everyone a sideman?
No, I mean, there were five of us that I think I, to be fair, brought just a lot of songs in, and then we all kind of made the band and made this record to start the band. So
right.
It was always a band.
What I mean more is sidemen in other people's projects.
Oh, like where was everyone else in other bands?
Yeah. Like don't some of you tour with like, Lindsey Buckingham and Christine McVie?
Oh no. So that was, they just took us as support.
Oh, okay. I'm very sorry about that. I didn't realize that's awesome.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, it was absolutely fantastic.
Man, I bet as a guitar player, getting to watch that fucking guy every night must have been amazing.
It really was, and we did every single night. We would, it was always in really pretty theaters. It was like every town we got to. I mean, we played the prettiest theaters in the country. And or they did, we opened for them, and so every night we would go sit up as high as we could get so we could really hear Lindsey's guitar, and it was sick, man. And you know, they don't mic his amp. He uses these real big Mesa Boogie amps, and they just blast them into the room. So,
hell yeah,
I mean, it's really rad. Yeah, we got to really know that set. It was fun.
Were they doing like
I
a lot of?
That, what, totally
they're doing a lot of Fleetwood Mac songs, right? And then their own solo stuff.
Yeah, they did enough to like make it really rad. You know what I mean? I mean, you play "Go Your Own Way" and all the hits for sure.
Awesome.
It's a trip.
And who else did you guys tour with?
We toured with a lot of people. You know, the very first guy that ever take us out was Ryan Bingham.
Yeah.
And that was really rad. Yeah. He had a really, really cool band that trip too. have gone out with a great European act called Blossoms. That was really rad. And we've done, you know, some different acts here in the United States, Judah and the Lion, Wild Feathers real early on. I'm sure I'm missing a bunch.
Yeah.
Sure. We did a lot. Yeah. I mean, we've just done a lot of support. Mount Joy, of course. We've done a bunch of touring with Mount Joy.
So over the last year, you've been able to release all these singles. Are these singles that will be on the next record that comes out, or?
Yes, two of them are. Okay. Basically, all the ones with the same artwork.
Take some time. Yeah, yeah.
Correct, yeah.
And when is that record coming out? Do you know?
Don't know. We keep being told the fall. So fingers crossed on the fall.
What about getting back to playing shows? Have you guys been able to get back to that?
No, we haven't. We haven't played since March 1st, 2020. So, yeah, we'll have to see if we remember how. Or it seems like there's a chance we could go out in the fall. But as far as we know, nothing all summer. And, yeah, we're pretty shipwrecked over here. But it's been cool, and it's been fun to, like, I mean, really what I'm doing right now is breaking down this record and starting to learn all my parts. So it's fun to, like, actually have some time to, so we kind of pushed ourselves on this one. I mean, most of Wildorado before has just kind of been downbeat stuff, and singing and playing was something I could just kind of, you know, get by and do. And now there's a lot more rhythmic stuff happening. There's a lot, you know, sorts of different changes, and
it seems like
I'm really having to spend time with it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's kind of moved into more of like a whatever guitar pop is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like we just had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
There are some moments like that. Yeah, especially Head Right. We kind of didn't keep that song from going there. That's just kind of what happened, you know what I mean? And but yeah, there is a lot of, man, the guitars on this record are awesome.
Yeah.
They're really awesome. I can't wait for you to hear them. So many great parts, so many great sounds.
That's fantastic, man. So are you from Tulsa? You're born and raised, or?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And then I was gone for 10 years, I think, college in LA, and then came back in like 2018.
Where'd you go to college in LA?
Well, sorry, college and LA. Oh, okay. I actually went to college in Waco, just above y'all.
Oh, nice.
two of us went to Baylor.
Okay. What were you majoring in, or pretending to major in?
Yeah, communications. I kind of started out in business, and I went to psychology. Then I found myself in communications. We actually started a little band in Waco, and that's kind of what, you know, I think I started figuring out, like, man, if I could finagle just doing this instead of school.
Were you playing like Buzzard Billy's or something?
We never did play that. No. You know, we played on campus a lot. We went up one time and played the Prophet Bar in Dallas.
Oh yeah.
But we were more of Baylor actually had a little like record label that the marketing school ran. It's kind of cool. You could like try out for it, and then they picked like four or five artists every year and would let you record, and you kind of get a little bit of a taste of what it's like to work with the label and make songs and that sort of thing.
So
did that. It was
so
rad.
So you were playing before you went to college. When did music like hit you?
Yeah, college for sure.
Okay.
I was playing sports in high school, and my mom had us play piano and stuff, you know, but my sister kind of took that the furthest. I stopped pretty early on. Yeah, I didn't really start playing music until college, to be fair, especially not writing songs.
What made you do that? Meeting girls or something to do?
Probably. I think there's always a massive part of that. I was always the kid that like had the good looking friends that all the girls were attracted to and kind of slid by the wayside in that regard. And then you play the piano and all of a sudden someone would look over at you, but that's a tale as old as time. I think I just started having a lot of fun doing it with people. I think I enjoyed the fact that it came a little bit naturally. I loved hearing melodies, and Yeah, man, it's just one of those things. It was a really fun experience from the beginning, and just it's one of those things I think I just started wanting to get better and better at.
Right.
Spent a lot of time doing.
Did you, was there like, you know, like at some point the dream takes hold and you're like, well, this is who I am and this is what I do. Like, this is my thing. When did that happen to you?
Man, I'm waiting for that to happen. I think sometime this year we've kind of been having that conversation, you know, where it's like, we're always talking about, well, I mean, if Will Dorado makes it or when we make it, or, you know, that sort of thing is still very much on our things that we talk about. But I, you know, it's funny you ask that, because I've kind of been reflecting on that recently. Just it's interesting looking now at, like, man, quite a few people are streaming our music, and it's been pretty consistent. It's never really had a lull. I mean, over the last 5 years, it's just gradually grown, and I'm not sure now what it would take to make it feel like we've made it, or, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah, I think ticket sales always have a big aspect on the whole made it aspect.
Yeah. What does making it mean to you? Like, I know that adjusts with every year that passes, especially after a year like this. You're like, well, I got out of bed, I made it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Totally. I mean, there's some realistic versions of what it means to me. I mean, you know, when you're, it's such a good question. I think right now making it to me just means not quitting and being able to hold on until we're touring again, yeah. Learning this record. I think once we get a band going again and are playing live and we can pull off these tunes, I think that'll be the most accomplished I've ever felt about anything. So I'm just kind of trying to keep my head down right now and love being home. And I know, you know, we're working our asses off though. I mean, I really can't, it's taken a lot of work for me to figure out my parts, singing my parts and playing my parts at the same time on all these new songs. So, it feels good to be working really hard. So I think I really am just in such a mode right now where I'm working towards something. So success for me is going to be whenever we can just rip this stuff.
Yeah. It's funny though, because people do ask that, like, I'm a musician and I've been doing it since I was a kid and I'm like 52, but there's people that are like, so man, so you're gonna, like, when's the like, when do you get the gold watch and get to retire? And I'm like, or not, yeah, or just whatever, what like, when does this end? And I'm like, it doesn't. You never get no one hands you the gold watch and like, hey, great job, now you can go off to pasture. The guys like it's Paul true. McCartney and stuff like that, Elton John, there's no need for them to be making new albums and going out and fucking touring, except for that they have to, because yeah. that's what they do. That's who they are.
Yeah, and I think that's such a great point. And that's kind of what our conversations have been recently, where it's, if you're just too focused on what making it is and right. trying to get there, then I think you kind of blow past all the good stuff. Like, I mean, in my opinion, we have made it. I mean, people listen, we put out a song and people are going to listen to it. People yeah. are going to want to see us play. And I guess to me, it's like, how much more make it can you get than that? And, you know, you want to be able to provide for yourself and provide for your family. But we're figuring all that out. We're doing that. And I think we really are focusing right now on just like, Will Dorado is happening. We're inside these songs and everything's all around us right now. So I'm really spending a lot of time trying to just not think too far ahead of my days.
Yeah. It's kind of like the alcoholic thing, taking a day at a time. Seems like it works for everyone.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I think if you can figure that, or really when you just meet somebody who's figured that out, it's kind of staggering to me. It's always something I've been attracted to, those people that are, you can just tell they're only living a day at a time.
Yeah, in the moment. That's one thing that I've always loved about touring, is that there's no, you know, where am I going to get lunch? Where's the coffee place near the venue? Where can totally. I poop? Like the simple.
Totally. It all is so, it's reactionary almost, like an animal.
Yeah. So you've been on the road, obviously, for a while. It was 2020 a shock to the soul and to the mind?
Yeah, it was. At first it was, and I say this very, what's the word I'm looking, insensitively, because I know I have full understanding what this year was like for the world, but it came as a big relief to me, to be honest. Like,
I've gotten that from some people.
When everything slowed down, I didn't have to provide that space for myself. It just kind of came to me. I mean, it was like freaking ice cream. Each scoop, each edition of it, well, I just was all about. I couldn't stay home long enough. We just had a little girl. She was turning 9 months old, I think, or something like that, once COVID turned. And it was really special.
That's amazing.
I got to spend, I mean, it was just a year I would have missed of her. And instead, I just ate it all up.
Yeah.
Still eating it up.
Yeah. That's great. Is your lady in the music in the music racket as well?
No, she's not. I mean, she's a massive inspiration to me.
Yeah.
She's got pretty impeccable taste. Her name's Natalia. I've always been really attracted to, and more just kind of impressed by how she just kind of has an idea of what she likes, and I can never figure out what she likes. She just knows, and it's always so alarming to me how wrong I am about, like, I bet Nat's going to like this song. And then she just doesn't. She only likes what she likes. But I love that about her. And it really is that way with her and music. She has a really strong connection to music. And her dad was a singer and songwriter. And so she's all about it.
Yeah. So you got to spend time with your daughter, which is amazing. And you formed a bond that you probably wouldn't get to have had you been on the road. And so the label's looking at releasing this record in the fall. Does that mean you guys will be going back out probably?
Yeah. Yeah. And that, that falls into the categories of trying to push it somewhere further away than right now. I've done that before though. I mean, we've got a 5-year-old as well. I know what it's like to not be, to not be around. I know several things in regards to that. One is you can not be around while you're around by worrying too much about that.
Right,
you know
right.
what I mean? So,
yeah.
I try to keep it in small doses. I mean, really the most I'm thinking about that is just learning my parts, playing guitar and
like
singing,
that.
Trying to work my voice back out.
Yeah.
But when that comes, it'll come. And that's one thing that's so special about music is you can't really fabricate what it's like, all the good parts of the road. You can't remind yourself what it's like to be on stage and have people be into your songs and be
right.
sharing this moment with the crowd. That's just there. That exists in that moment. So all the wonderful parts about tour are just on tour. They're not, you can't get jazzed about them. At least I can't. Right now I'm where I want to be. I don't want to leave, but I know when it comes time to do it,
it'll be
fine. You have a grace for a moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll just go and do it like always.
Yeah. What kind of, on a techie side, what's your rig? What's your guitar situation like?
Man, I got some great stuff. Right now it's the one, I've got a Matchless Chieftain from the 90s
that
my uncle sold me. That's really rad. It's getting worked on right now. So I've been playing through a little Vox and an old 5-watt Magnetone, which has been kind of a fun combo. And then I play this guitar a lot. I was when we were touring a lot. It's kind of like a makeshift MJT. Do you know Mark Jennings?
No, but that's cool as shit.
Yeah, he builds and kind of distresses these old Fender parts. This is like a Telemaster. It's a tele set inside a Jazzmaster.
Yeah.
But I haven't played it in a while, to tell you the truth. I've been playing this, that Dane Electro. Can you see that guy?
Oh, yeah, I can see it. That's nice.
Yeah, that thing's been rad. It's hollow, too, which is cool. So I've got some flat wounds on it, which I've never really done before, but some of these tunes on the record, I've been trying to figure out, like, how do I manipulate these sounds and make it sound like that? But the flat wounds have been kind of fun to mess with on a couple of these songs.
They are fun.
What about you? You a guitar player?
Yeah. I have this new guitar that this friend of mine built me. It's this SG Junior. It's also distressed and old and Bigsby. It's really, really cool. It sounds great too.
Dude, I bet. What's his name?
His name's Jason Swedberg, and he's got a company called J. Scott Luthery.
And J. Scott Luthery,
yeah. He's on Instagram there.
I'll look him up. Look at this. This is I got this for Christmas this year. My wife got me this. It's a Les Paul special.
I love those. The TV
that
yellow.
Double cutaway, man. Yeah, dude. Yeah. Once you start playing that double cutaway thing, everything else feels really small. Huh?
Yeah, yeah,
you know
totally.
What I'm talking about?
Yeah, the neck feels a lot longer. Yeah, that's the way I feel about that thing. Mostly I
play cool.
this Telecaster for like the last 25 years.
Whoa.
That's been redone a couple of times.
What pickups are in it?
It just got a couple single coils and then a P90 in the neck.
Whoa, rad.
Yeah. I kind of went
that's
through...
That's one thing I...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, it's one thing I haven't acquired yet is a great P90 guitar.
Yeah. Once I got a Jazzmaster and I got this Gretsch, I was like, I think I want to switch out all my humbuckers for these P90s. Because I just like the way they sound a little bit better for what I do.
Dude, me too. Yeah, every time there's one where we go and work, it's always what I'm drawn to. There's just something rad about it. It's kind of just that ballsier single coil sound, which is hard to beat.
Hard to beat. Yeah, because the humbucker can be like a little too gainy for me. Like a little
agreed,
too hot.
Yeah, just yeah. For what we're doing, it's never really translated for us.
You guys recorded there at your place?
We in Norman, Oklahoma. There's a studio called Black Watch in Norman. This guy named Chad Copeland. And we've done everything there. We actually just built this place this year. It's an old machine shop that haven't even treated it yet. I kind of like rushed all the way through this year just to close it up and get it secure and safe, and finally moved all our stuff in like a month ago.
Oh, that's
two
awesome.
Months ago. Yeah, it's really exciting. Something's kind of been a big dream of mine. So now we're kind of figuring out how do we treat it. But you know, it'll happen eventually. I'm not in any rush. We're in here working, so it's cool, but yeah, this is brand new.
Yeah. It's amazing. What do you like, what did you grow up listening to? What kind of music did you listen to?
Well, you know, I'm not one of those guys that like was a big audiophile. I remember, to tell you the truth, I remember listening to Led Zeppelin 1-4 for the first time, like driving out to LA with my buddy Clint. And, you know, that was in 2012. I was graduated already. And, you know, I hadn't even heard any of it. I mean, I'd heard like random hits from Zeppelin, but
right.
I just didn't really have that great of a musical upbringing. I can remember Three Dog Night was something my dad would play, but besides that, there was never really much, I don't know, just kind of music that really, really moved me. Really little, we were listening to like DC Talk. Remember that stuff?
Was that like a Christian?
Like Christian alternative
stuff.
Yeah, I
remember. I had a friend that, this engineer guy that did a lot of work in that world, and would come across these bands and be like, oh, check this out. But yeah, I remember that band.
Yeah, there's a label out in, I think they're in Seattle, called Tooth and Nail. They had just some like, I mean, really, we were working with Phil Eck, and he was telling us Tooth and Nail would go and grab these, like, they would listen to what was popular and big and basically make these Christian acts out of them and sell the asses off of them. But there was a band called Goaty Hook, MXPX. I had some moments with all that, but then started playing sports. And
what sports
didn't
did you
really,
play?
You know, didn't. Basketball and ran track.
Right on.
And then started listening to Third Eye Blind a lot in high school. And I think that's kind of when I started. I liked singing along to Third Eye Blind songs. I loved the first three Coldplay records. I think that's when I kind of started writing songs, was listening to that stuff. You know, then I got real into Kings of Leon. And, in college, and still I'm a big fan of them, but yeah, kind of bounced all around. Now I'm in this strange like combination of I can't listen to too much music because I get real, you know, I compare myself to it. It's a hard thing for me not to do. I kind of get down. But at the same time, I'm like trying to absorb a bunch of stuff that I never knew about.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of a strange one too.
Third Eye Blind's an interesting one. I wouldn't expect that from you. Or yeah. Coldplay,
oh,
honestly.
Man, for real, man, I just think, yeah, they're both such great bands. All those first records still just kind of hit for me, but I don't know what it was. Just really connected. You know, I always liked being able to sing stuff.
Right.
I've always been kind of a sucker for pretty harmonies and interesting harmonies, and never really got that moved by, like, you know, heavy stuff, really fast stuff. It's too hard for me to really slow down, understand, and hear.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff's rad, though, right? I mean, like,
yeah, you're yeah.
A, just never really, for some reason, it never really clicked in my brain.
Yeah. Well, when I was a kid, it was a little different. It was like the early 80s, and it was like Rush, and there was like a whole movement, and the kids that played that metal stuff, there's no girls around. There was no, you know what I mean? And when I was like in eighth grade, when I started my first band, I remember going to one of my friend's houses to watch him play Crazy Train on guitar with a bunch of other dudes. And I was like, yeah, this isn't happening at all. So then I met these girls that were super into Duran Duran, and I had a little bit more of a connection with that pop music anyway. So that was kind of the direction I took.
Yeah, it's interesting with all of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny now. It's like, to me, all the cool people, or all the people I think are cool and want to hang out with, they all listen to the hardcore stuff and were real into emo music. And it was like, I don't know, it's funny because you're almost made to feel like a sissy or something for listening to Duran Duran, all these pop bands. It's a really interesting thing. And even today, still, there's so much judgment towards liking that kind of stuff, but
right,
man, if you like it, then you like it. That should be more accepted now than ever.
Yeah. So, all right. So you finish college and you decide to move to LA for music.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to give it a go.
Did you know anyone out there? Did you just pack up a car and go to LA?
My sister was out there.
Okay.
So I went out and she was going to Pepperdine.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, the idea was we were both songwriters. The idea was just to make that work. And we played in a band and played in all these, you know, did some like college. There was this thing called NACA, did some college circuit stuff. And then,
you guys did that as a duo, the NACA stuff?
With a bunch of people. There was kind of this band that existed and they had all these dates lined up and they just needed someone to write music around. Basically it fell apart and they wanted someone to help basically put a band together. And so we just kind of fell into that and did that and ended up doing that for almost 2 years.
That stuff can be pretty lucrative though.
Yeah. You know, it was really interesting. And I'll tell you one thing's for sure is it put me in front of crowds. I mean, we were playing in front of 5,000 people at these NACA conferences. It was crazy. You'd go out and you'd have 5 minutes or some shit like that. I mean, just incredibly small amount of time. And there would be a red clock counting down at every one of them. And we did tons of national ones. You know what I mean? So there'd be students from all over. And we'd just go out there and have to do our best. It was crazy.
I never did that.
I learned a lot. We learned.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say learned a lot. We were on the road a lot. We're in a very interesting writing situation, so we were really stretched and played with some awesome musicians, and it's just a cool thing. I wouldn't trade for the world.
Yeah, and it's kind of like one of those things where you're put in front of those crowds that aren't, they don't know your music, so you got to win them over.
Dude,
so you kind of learn how to reach out and like fucking grab them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and sometimes it'd be like a magician would be on before or like a dance crew
or
and
a bad comedian
come up and seriously which I guess is better than like a super rad band they have to follow. But yeah, that's funny you know that. That was a very interesting world. And some, you're right, some people would kill it. But I think the people that really killed it were like magicians and people would kind of go out by themselves and they, because you know, a school would have a budget. They'd pay these guys $5,000-$6,000 to come.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't had a guarantee that's $5,000 anywhere ever.
Yeah, no shit. I love it. There's people that think that when you get to tour with somebody opening for like a Lindsey Buckingham and Christine McVie, that it's some windfall. And that's yeah. never the case.
Well, that was the most money we ever made as far as guarantees go. But yeah, I would say almost the majority of our touring has been like $250 a night guarantees. You know what I mean? And we would just smat, which are, you know, you try to knock it out of the park with merch. Luckily, we've always done pretty well with merchandise.
I noticed you guys
have, yeah, it's crazy.
You have a shitload of merch. I was looking, you guys were having a sale, and I went to your site and looked at it. You got a lot of stuff.
Oh, cool. Thanks. It's something we're really about. The drummer in the band's name is Justin Keela, and he's a designer, and he's just one of those guys that kind of gets it. And Tyler and I are kind of just fans of whatever he does. So he'll mock something up and it always goes pretty well. We like the idea of merchandise just kind of being like, what would we want to wear rather than how do we make a band tee or something like that? Or what would we use? Or we're just actually getting into printing our own stuff, which is exciting. Yeah, the front part of this building we're setting up is like to do our own prints and stuff. So we can try. We're really trying to make it a whole in store deal.
That's great.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's cool. We all like that stuff, garment and clothing and old vintage stuff. And so we've kind of been collecting these blank vintage tees and sweatshirts, and we'll start printing on them.
That's really cool, man.
It is.
Is that how you did the cover, like the artwork for the new singles?
No, that's actually a guy named Sam Burgess Johnson.
Okay.
Justin's, doing the artwork on the record is I think in that category of too close to home. And he had a big part in it and worked real closely with Sam, but we had a little bit of a budget for that. So, you know, we're big fans of Sam. So we heard he was down to do it. It was kind of a no brainer, the combination of he and Justin, because it just takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And when you're in the band, it's hard to give notes on something that, you know, somebody's just, you know, kind of been breaking their back over.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always fun to get to do that stuff and finding something that works as like a scheme. You know what I mean? Like, not like a scheme, like you're scheming to undercut somebody, but like a color scheme, like an art, an actual theme.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, we're dorks about it. I would say colors are some of our favorite things. It really is like we'll be driving and someone said, look at that color. Look at the color of that yellow. Look at that yellow. Look at, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
And we're just so into it. It moves us. It really does.
That's awesome.
I think that's why we like merch so much, is we just spend so much time talking about it. And once the design's up, it's always a massive risk of who's going to print this. Is this going to, you know what I mean? You send a color and never know if they're going to have the right ink to do it or how it's going to go.
Hey, where do you play when you come to Austin? Where have you played here? Do you remember?
Played several places and in short, no. I'm always so bad about that. I know we've done Little Room and Stubbs.
Oh yeah, the inside.
We've done that outside. I think Emos we've done with Mountjoy. And we played ACL.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was so cool. I'm trying to think what else we've done in Austin. I'm just not gonna remember. I remember we did a residency there though. We played four or 3 weeks in a month. But I'm not going to be able to remember, dude. I'm sorry.
Were you here like recording or something?
No, we just did this little deal. And I think it was 2018 where we were like, we did we basically created a tour out of residencies. We had one in Tulsa, one in Dallas, and one in Austin. And we played Houston a couple times. So we would play the Austin, we'd play the Tulsa show, come down, play the Dallas show, play the Austin show, hit Houston and go back up and do it the next week for a whole month. It was wild. But it really ended up, I think, helping us in those towns.
Yeah.
You know, we saw a lot of growth in Austin and Dallas, and we have family all throughout there. So people would be coming and,
bringing their friends.
It's crazy to look back on doing that. The idea of doing that now seems just wicked exhausting, but
yeah,
no, man, we've always just kind of been like, let's do it. Here's what you're going to do. And we've always just said, let's do it. That's what we're doing this month. And that's what we're doing.
Well, to me, it seems like that kind of thing you could really knock out. You could knock out what would take months or maybe even a year in a month to come down and play weekly shows in three or four different markets and actually kind of turn that into a thing. And then you get to know people, you get to know the town a little bit better. They get to know you.
It's true.
It's pretty smart.
Yeah, and it's just like even something about playing on the same stage three times in a month or four times in a month. And it's always just so different, sounds so different, so discombobulating each time. And so it's kind of cool coming in knowing, you know, we were playing the Profit Bar, knowing that like, I just know how this is going to sound. I can dial into this room third time. And then each night just got bigger and bigger and bigger, which is always really fun. But I tell you what, for sure, is it made me realize being in Tulsa was the spot. Being in LA, man, you can't do that stuff in California or anywhere on the West Coast, man.
Yeah, I've always had a weird, not hatred. That's too strong a word because I love touring, but the West Coast is exhausting. Their just drives are just so fucking long. And the East Coast is badass. It's like, you know, the longest is like 3.5 hours or 4 hours.
Once you make it out there, I mean, it's always so daunting. And it's always seems like either it's always at the end of a trip too. We'll be up and like, we'll get to, you know, you get to Salt Lake and it's like, my God, we have to go to Dallas or I got to go to Seattle. We got 2 days to do it. And then San Fran, and those are all 8 hours apart. And then all the way down to LA, and then you're in LA and you got to drive God knows where to get home.
Yeah. So how long were you in LA in total?
Almost 5 years.
Did you get to do anything cool when you were there outside of the NACA stuff? Like, did you get to play any places like the Troubadour or like?
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah.
I mean, three of those years were doing Wildorado. The college stuff ended right as we put this record together. So we went straight into like, we had this, you know, great management came from the UK and we just kind of started working with them and they had all these people in LA and set up a team pretty quick and got with the booking agent pretty quick. And so they kind of had us do the LA thing. I mean, we played School Night. We did Echo Park Rising. We did, now looking back, we've done a lot. We played the Fonda. We've played the Greek. We've played, yeah, man, we've done a lot in LA. We played Echo Park, or what is that? The Echo. A lot of cool. I mean, you know, it's kind of that was, and you know, as wild as what they said. It's first thing. There's some rounds we got to do in LA. There's some different things you got to check off, and we did them all. we've done everything that they've set out for us to do so far.
Now, are you still with the same label that you started with?
Same management, from the very beginning.
Yeah,
and then
great.
We've really gotten close with them. They're a part of the band, and I think they get it. I don't think we got it at the beginning, but now I'm starting to understand that they had a methodology and just this slow game, touring, 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 build our own fans that'll last, fans that will meet. It's just taking a long time, but now you look up, they talked about it over and over 5 years ago. They were just saying we have these 5-year goals and here we are and we're hitting all of them. So
that's fucking great, man.
Yeah. And they're just, you know, it's like, it was all on a handshake and he took a big risk on us and flew out and he's been involved and he's been, you know, we've been frustrated with each other lots of times, but it's never been anything more than just working through stuff. It just feels like, and there's three of them now. they just feel like a part of, they feel like a part of our story. They are a part of our story.
Yeah.
But we're with the record label now. We just signed a proper deal in April, with the label out in San Francisco, or not, they're north of San Francisco. But yeah, they're called Bright Antenna, and they are so rad. It's just this little label, and they're the same way. Just fit right in.
That's great.
Been awesome.
Man. That's really great.
Yeah. It feels good to have a team we like.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're making music, you know, that's great. And you're taking steps musically, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's pretty cool. Like I said, when you look around and kind of realize it's all happening and it's been happening, there's a lot of stuff that I realize I'm glad I haven't missed. I'm glad to have paid attention to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other than the venues, I guess. I can never remember the names.
Whose idea was it to do all the different mixes of Take Some Time?
The labels.
The labels. Those are all cool, man.
Yeah. Man, I thought so too. And that's like the furthest thing from something I would have ever wanted to do or had the idea of. But you know what I like about that is like they've had some ideas that I think were off putting to us. And then once we got into kind of how it actually go, it's always been cool. Like all of those artists were so rad, and I never even knew a bunch of them. So it was so fun to like hear what they did with your song. And I think really the key to that was the tune. It just was such a remixable song.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it was
yeah.
so laid back and had just an easy vocal. So, you know, so many things helped that work, but it did. It was great. It really made some headway for us, you know, to kick up some streaming before we launched into releasing more tunes for this record.
Yeah, man. Well, dude, this has been great talking to you. People can find you at Wildorado.co. They can find all your singles on Spotify, wherever they stream and download music. And hopefully catch up with you guys. I'd love to see you guys when you come back to Austin.
Yeah, gotta let us know if you come through and shoot me a message. We'll you know, be great, get you in and just meet you. You're a great guy, dude. I appreciate the questions.
Well, it's great meeting you too, man. Is there anything else I'm missing?
I don't think so.
No?
Yeah, we talked your ear off.
Well, Max, it's been great meeting you, man. I hope that I wish you a lot of success and look forward to meeting you. I'll let your people know. This will be up in a few weeks. I'll let them know when it's up. But thanks
Sweet,
for doing
dude.
The show, and it was really
it.
Nice meeting you.
All right, Johnny. Thanks for being interested.
All right, buddy.
See you.
Bye. I'm holding heat against my hip, but when you play with fire, you end up choking on desire. That's Max Rayner from Tulsa indie rock band Wildorado. Check out their singles, Head Right, Take Some Time, and all the ones they released last year. Wildorado.co is where you can find out more about them. All right? If you're new to the show, thanks a lot for listening. You can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is you find podcasts, be it Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast, TuneIn, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, all the podcast places. New shows every Tuesday and every Friday. Sometimes I drop 3 shows a week. Sometimes even 5 shows a week. But mostly we're on a Tuesday and Friday schedule. New shows every week. Thank you so much for listening. I want to thank Max for taking the time to talk to me. And go check out Wildorado. This is their song, Head Right. Have a great week, whatever it is you're doing. Hey, don't forget, get your tickets for my show at Rockefeller's with Temple Underground this Friday, May 28th. Do it. Do it. Go to Rockefeller's Houston. Just Google that. Find the tickets for the show. Come on out. It's going to be a great, great show all around. All right? Let's listen to the rest of Head Right from Wildorado. Have a great week. Let's get down.